Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, you know what we think about you. We think you're highly intelligent. Anybody who would listen and then continue to listen, that's certainly a sign of high intelligence. And we know all about high intelligence because we have really smart people who join us every half hour to talk to us about things that are important to you and me. And one of those really smart guys is our good friend Rob Jealous. Rob is one of the top salesmanship experts on the planet. He's the author of a number of books, including Customer-Centered Selling and one of my favorites, The Way of the Road Warrior, and also How to Run Seminars and Workshops and Others. I think he's got at least a half a dozen books written, something under 1 billion copies sold galactically, and he's our good friend. Rob Jealous, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here, and thanks for that billion reference. I'm looking forward to getting there someday.
Something under 1 billion. I think we're correcting that, aren't we?
Yeah, somewhere under that.
Something
gap.
Under 1 billion galactically. Rob, what is one of the things that that makes a salesperson is their personality? I think. I mean, you got to have the skills, you got to have the knowledge, you got to know what you're talking about. But personality does influence the sales process, doesn't it?
It, you know what? It influences it, and at the same time, it harms it, because I think sometimes we're so set on our own personality, we forget the personality of the client.
Because I'm so perfect, so you know, my personality must be okay, right?
Well, sure. I mean, this is the way I take in information. This is the way I like to sit. I like to put my client on that side of the desk.
Isn't everybody like that?
Here. What's that?
Isn't everybody like that?
Well, I think they are. I think they get a little too focused on their own personality. And sometimes it gets in our way. You know, the funny thing is, I'll bet most of the audience that's listening has gone through one of two personality tests in their life. They've either gone through a Myers-Briggs, which is a very detailed personality, or one of my favorites, which is a little bit easier, which is called DISC. And it's more of a four-part personality. But let me tell you the problem with those pieces. And I've got an instructor.
I was a double D, by the way.
I'll bet you were.
Yeah.
That's why you're not letting me get this thought out.
They created a new category for me, not just D, double D.
We'll leave that one be. My problem with the test, although I've come full circle, is when we take those and they're fascinating, the only problem is the person that we now can sell the best is ourselves, because we've learned all about ourselves. But how do I figure out what the guy is on the other side of the desk? What if he's not a double D? What if he's very social or analytical? Does that mean he has to conform to me, or I have to conform to him? I think the answer is rather obvious. I've got to conform to him. Last time I looked, I was the one who was selling.
Right.
And so the question is, without handing them an assessment, how do I read their personality in an email? How do I read it in a voicemail? How do I read it in their appearance or their office, and how do I do that in 10 seconds or less? And that's where it gets interesting.
So the personality that we're interested in, folks, is not yours, the salesperson. We're interested in theirs, their personality, the customer's personality. But at the same time, our own personality can either work, can either complement or conflict with their personality, can it?
Sure. I mean, let's stay with the concept of you being a D, a high D, a driver, a dominant individual. Well, that's fine. If I were selling you, and maybe I'm really social and I wanted to talk about the ball game and the Red Sox coming back, you'd have no time for that. So I have to shift gears and say to myself, I can't lead with a lot of social information. I'm going to have to get right to it. And if I do, Jim's going to like me a whole lot more.
Yep.
Now, I knock at the door right next to yours, and I see somebody analytical. Well, maybe I'm not a guy who likes to run around with a lot of numbers. I mean, if I tell you it'll work, it'll work. But the fact of the matter is, if you're analytical, I better come with some numbers and some proof sources, or we're not going to hook up.
How do we find out about all this? How do we know this? Is it possible to know some of these things in advance of even meeting the person?
Yes, and that's the key. The key is that usually there's some very limited interaction. For instance, let's just do emails for a second. And if I get an email from somebody, and when I send one, I say, "Hey, dear Jim, and how's the family, and take care," you can already feel the social vibes coming out of that email.
Right.
Now,
right.
What if you got one back that said, "I'll be there at 6, bring the books."
Right, and no punctuation or anything, just the words.
Oh, I mean, yeah, exactly. Not even a capital letter at the beginning of any sentence. It doesn't mean the individual doesn't like you. It means they just want you to get to the point.
Get to the point. That's exactly right. Stand by. We'll be right back. We got a couple of double D's here talking about personality. I know there's liable to be all kinds of fireworks coming up between me and Rob Jolliss right after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rob Jolliss. We're talking about the impact of personality, primarily the prospect's personality, your customer's personality, on the selling process. And Rob, we were talking about, by the way, before we go any further, why don't you give us your website, please?
It's an easy one, www.jolliss.com.
Jolliss.com, and what will we find when we get there?
You'll just find some information about us, our seminars, some of the books that you can order. We keep it kind of light.
Yeah, it's good stuff, folks. Anything Rob does is first class. I certainly encourage you to check out his books. The last one, though, Rob, is which one?
Mental Agility. It's actually a follow-up to the customer-centered selling book.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not that it's funny. The publisher kept pushing on me, "We need you to write a new sales book." And I got to tell you, I haven't changed my mind. I still feel the same way I did. So the Mental Agility book's just a companion book that it gives you more skills and drills so you can rehearse that swing we're trying to teach you.
There you go. Personality. We're talking about how you can determine the personality. Can you determine a prospect's personality by going to their website?
That's a great question. And I've never been asked that question before. And
well,
I'm
not surprised.
Well, that's you. I got to tell you, unfortunately, I can read you 16 different ways, but that's going to be a tough one because you're sometimes at the mercy of the webmaster. And most webmasters are fairly analytical, so that's why they chose that profession. So I think you're going to get some false leads on that one. I'd spend more attention on the email correspondence, the voicemail correspondence, and if by chance you can actually visually see them, you'll be able to tell by the clothes they wear. The dominance of a little bit more formal, a little bit more black and white, social's a little bit more out there. And the analytical is a little bit kind of a hybrid cross point.
I think you can tell. I think the first thing you could probably tell if you know anything about websites is you could probably go there and say, okay, this was done by a professional and didn't have heavy influence by the owner. And then I think you could go and see a website that, and you could determine that they didn't let the webmasters control this. This was done more. I think you could differentiate between one that was done by a webmaster and one that was done. It was heavily influenced by the people. And then if that was the case, that it was influenced by the people, that then you could get a little bit of, you could find out a little bit about their personality. But here's another question for you, Rob.
Yes.
Would it be okay to talk to the person's assistant and say, "Bill or Sue, I really want to do a good job with my meeting with your boss. Can you tell me a little bit about his personality? What is she like? What is she not like? If you were me, how would you conduct yourself in that meeting? Can you do that?"
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a great thing to do. And I'll tell you what, for two of the three personalities, it's just a wonderful, nice move. And that, when I say that, I'd say analytical and social. But the funny thing is, for a dominant personality, not only would I encourage what you just said, I don't think you're going to make the sale if you don't, because even getting background information, once you find that person is dominant, you know, can you imagine walking in there and saying, why don't you walk me through a typical day? Share with me about information about your company. You might as well drag your fingers down a chalkboard. They'd look at you like you've got three eyes and say, couldn't you have done that before you got here?
Right.
So there's a personality that almost demands you do your homework before you get there. The social, for instance, if I pick that up from the assistant, they can tell me all they want, but when I go there, I'm going to let that social go ahead and tell me again. I'm going to pretend I don't know a lot, because they're going to enjoy telling me about how they created the business and how they did this and they purchased that. And
when you see them going off on one of those, folks, just get comfortable, settle in, and for a long winter's nap, because if they want to talk about it, you're not going to make the sale until they get through.
Absolutely, and remember that our rule of thumb. The more the client talks, the more they like you.
That's
particularly
right.
A social client.
You know, another advantage of asking the assistant or whoever else is involved with this prospect or customer, another advantage of doing that is that you actually bring that person into the process who very likely will be part of the decision-making process of whether to do business with you. In fact, maybe they may actually turn you back over to them and let them make the decision. And
right.
So now you've made them your partner. You've made a good. You've made a friend. You've introduced yourself as somebody who wants to enlist their support, their help, and that's a good thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. In the sales books, you'll sometimes referred to as a decision influencer,
and or the screen.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Particularly if you're selling office equipment and you're actually that DI, decision influencer, office often is the end user as well, meaning they're going to have, you're right, they're going to have their hands on that equipment. They're going to be the ones we need to keep happy.
Well, I'll tell you, in my organization, if there are 50 decisions made in this office, let's say in a 6 month period, to spend any kind of money at all, I probably will only make 5 of those.
Right.
And my folks make all the others, and almost completely. And maybe only in 10 or 15 of the others will I even be involved.
Yeah. Well, you should put on a session on delegation, because it sounds like you're a champion at it.
Well, it's out of a necessity, but you also have to have good people. But my point is, isn't that another good reason to say who makes this decision?
Yeah, and let me add two more words to that. Who besides yourself makes this decision?
I like that.
Because that allows the ego to not get in the way of the answer. So a very critical piece there.
Yeah. In fact, you might even wouldn't hurt to presume that they make the decision and let them correct you. They wouldn't mind that either. Stand by. Quick break. 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Rob Jollis, the author of The Way of the Road Warrior and other books. Stay with us.
Standing on the mountain, looking down on the city, the way he ought to be is a doggone pity.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can, that's our 10-year-old flagship website, is where you can find the show in a lot of different ways, replay, live replay, archived, you name it, however you like it, we got it here for you. So anything that we've done, any interviews we've done today or in the past is available to you to podcast, to stream on MP3, whatever you like, we give you the ability. And also, don't forget to check out the articles and the Brain Trust members. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can check out our blog, which we update every weekday. And, of course, we also have the knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's where small business owners can go to get small business answers right now. So check that out at askjim.biz. Rob Jollis is our guest. We're talking about the impact of personality, the effects of personality on a sales process. And his website, folks, is jollis.com, jolles.com. Rob, what are some other things that we need to know about personality?
Well, let's start wrapping this thing down. A couple things to think about. First of all, sales guys like me have finally woken up, I think, and we used to kind of put down these personality models and we'd look down our nose at them. We don't anymore, because What those personality models do is they give us a pacing for the sales models that we're using. And to just teach a sales process without getting a sense of how to, where it expands and contracts is a mistake. Personality will help us out with that a great deal. And one more thing, can I tell you, everybody who's listening, go to the bookstore, go to the movie store, pick up My Cousin Vinny. And I'm going to tell you to do that because when you watch Joe Pesci and that judge, you're going to understand what I mean about personality in conflict. And if you watch the whole movie, you'll see Joe Pesci conform to what Fred Gwynn wants him to conform to,
right,
because Fred Gwynn is the client, and
right,
Joe Pesci is the salesman. That means he's going to wear a suit, and he's going to follow those, move at that dominant pace that Fred Gwynn wants. And when he does, he's successful.
When should we, you know, we talked a minute ago about making sure that you check out your own, your customer's personality, know their personality, because they're the ones with the gold that you want to get. But shouldn't we also be aware of our own personality and how we and our own tendencies? In other words, if I'm a D, and I teased a minute ago and said I was a double D, if I know that I'm that way and I run into somebody who is a C on the DISC scale, which means that they're very laid, very reserved and very analytical and very quiet and maybe even a little bit negative.
Yeah.
If I am a D and they're a C, then if I don't watch what I'm doing, I could very easily just blow this person, you know, blow any chance of doing business with this person.
And that's the point. Unfortunately, your personality, when you're the client, you're the Joe Pesci, you don't really count. You're going
that's
to
right.
have to move at that other person's pace.
That's right.
And one more thing you may have noticed, I haven't brought up the C a whole lot, have I? I brought
right.
up three out of the four. We keep testing, and we don't see a whole lot of C's. And for most salespeople who have to move and make these decisions in 3 to 5 seconds, we're working with analyticals, dominance, and socials. And
right.
as far as I'm concerned, a C is a I'm just seeing too small a percentage
point
in this
country. You just
write them
off, huh?
Well, if you look at them, typically they're going to fall into either a dominant or an analytical category. They're kind of a hybrid. So they really do fall off.
I actually have met C's, and I know one in particular, and he's the most negative person I've ever been around.
The point is that
regardless of whether it's which type of personality the other person is, you really not only need to know what it seems to me, Rob, what they how they are and be prepared to deal with them on their level, but you also have to realize that there's the oil and the vinegar thing, the oil and the vinegar possibility, and the two personalities may not work together, and you're going to have to turn into a chameleon, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you're looking at a seminar guy who used to avoid the Midwest. That's me. I said, they just don't move at my pace. I used to send one of my trainers out there. And then I said, the heck with this. I'm going to move at a more methodical pace. I won't be a jumping jack. I'll slow down a little bit. And I decided either that or why am I giving up a quarter of this country?
Right.
And I stopped. I conformed. You know, I was a guy who prided myself in my energy. Well, go to Wisconsin, and I'm not knocking people from Wisconsin, but I'm going to tell you, they're annoyed with a seminar guy who's jumping all over the stage.
Send all your cards and letters to jollis.com, all you folks in the Midwest.
I love people from Wisconsin.
I know.
I just slow down when I'm there. That's all.
And they're listening to you, by the way, right now. Hey, Rob, well, thank you for being here. Good job today. It's always a pleasure. We'll have you back again real soon.
Except
Rob Jollis, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. we won't let you talk to the people in Wisconsin anymore. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blysingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.